This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
All right, Jacob, yell it. Yell it for me, Jacob.
McFarlane!
All right. McFarlane, this is the Baseballs and Boring program on the radio. You know, may know us from such educational films as Baseballs and Boring, the podcast, the social media accounts, at BB Isn't Boring. All of it is awesome. And today we're going to be with you for noon to 3, and I will yell McFarlane. Everybody should be yelling McFarlane because the thing that we thought would never happen, the thing that we thought would never happen, we kept saying 2%, 5%, 10%, whatever it is. I think maybe the highest I got at one point was 30%. Yes, Alex Bregman has landed as a member of the Boston Red Sox, and that has changed everything. It just has. We can talk about how important he is in the offense, and we can talk about how important he is with the defense, and we're going to talk about that because I think there is still some stuff going on, whether he's going to play second or third. We can talk about all that. We can talk about the clubhouse. We can talk about just him being at spring training, the vibe, the biggest thing that this does, and everybody can chime in because this is a time to do it. 617-779-7937. The biggest thing is the vibe, is the narrative. The narrative that this has changed. This single signing is the biggest narrative shift of the Boston Red Sox in years upon years upon years upon years. And I can tell you that is a fact. Sure, you signed David Price for a ton of money, $270 million. That didn't change the narrative. That's the way the Red Sox were going. They traded for Craig Kimbrel. Sure, that was a big trade, but that didn't change the narrative. They haven't had a narrative-shifting move like this in a long, long time. Honestly, maybe you have to go back to 2011, Adrian Gonzalez, maybe Carl Crawford, John Lackey, that sort of thing. But with you go back to those acquisitions, and I think the biggest difference here is that those acquisitions were almost luxury items. Those acquisitions were sort of like, we already have a good team, and we are going to show everybody that we are going to be a better team. All right, yeah, they had a pretty good team right now. They had a pretty good team. But with Bregman, not to say that he's worth $30 million, $40 million, whatever, however you want to calculate it, with all the deferments, however you want to do that, not to say that this single player is absolutely that level of player. He's going to produce solely on the field. That is what you're going to get from him. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the importance of this player in changing the narrative more than any other player that they've acquired. Again, I'll go back to those times where you got those quote-unquote luxury items. The importance of it is across the board. We mentioned it offensively, defensively, clubhouse, but also the pushing aside a thing that everybody had hung their hats on for the last few years, certainly the last few years, certainly since Dave Dombrowski left, which is the Red Sox, sure, they're going to go after these guys. Sure, they're going to have interest in them. Sure, they're going to maybe say, hey, we're in on Juan Soto, we're in on Mac Fried, we're in on Zach Eflin, whatever it is. Sure, all of it. But the difference was this time, is yes, they won. They actually won. They actually won, and they did so by getting uncomfortable. The word which we keep saying, we keep waiting for them to come through and paying off their narrative that they pushed early in the offseason. They said they would get uncomfortable, and we said the Garrett Crochet deal, fine. But it was almost like a sugar high. I gave the example of in the movie Super Size Me. Remember that movie where the guy started eating McDonald's every single day? And then halfway through, he would go get his McDonald's fix and
supersize me.
Yeah, that's what I said. So what I said, supersize me, right? Didn't I say
yeah,
that?
Yeah, you
run
did.
That,
sorry.
Run, oh, my God. Jacob, yell McFarlane again.
McFarlane.
All right, thank you. That's your penance. Oh, there he is, all right. The Savannah Bananas, the guy who runs the show. The Savannah Bananas are here. All right, we'll get to them in a second. We'll get to them in a second. But we're at JetBlue Park, by the way. I didn't even mention that. I am ranting and raving about being at JetBlue Park, and we're at JetBlue Park, where Alex Bregman just hit a baseball, threw a baseball, wore a Red Sox uniform, all of that. But I'm going to come back to the Red Sox offseason, where you had Garrett Crochet, and what the super size me analogy that I had was the guy who ate McDonald's for every meal, and then you showed him halfway through. He got his fix. He got his Big Mac. He got his shake. He got his fries, and he was off the wall for about 15 minutes, and then 15 minutes later, he was lounging on his couch. He was lounging on his couch, and he was – It wasn't the sugar high. It wasn't the McDonald's high. It wasn't the dopamine that he had before. That's what the Crochet thing was. After the Crochet thing happened, everyone immediately turned to, why are you spending money? Why are you losing out on Soto? Why are you losing out on Fried? Why are you doing all these things? Why? Because they were finishing second. And until they finished first, you didn't have that benefit of the doubt. Until you finished first, you weren't able to push aside that narrative. And so when the Bregman thing's going on, and we're going to get to this and parse through the roller coaster ride, which was this Alex Bregman conversation, and how he had landed here on Field 3 at Fenway South when we thought that would never happen, certainly in a Red Sox uniform. We are going to get to that. But the point is that you had this guy where you were finishing second, and then boom, all of a sudden, you, lo and behold, finish first. You are in the big boys club, like once again, for the first time since Dave Dombrowski. Congratulations, Boston Red Sox. You have immediately changed the narrative. That's what we're talking about, changing the narrative. And that is something which, if you don't make this signing, I don't care what you do. Nolan Arenado, whatever it is. Bregman changes the narrative more than any other player, any other signing, and that not only for the team, not only for the wins and losses, not only for the people out, the 15 people out here getting autographs here at JetBlue Park, not only for that, but for the business of the Boston Red Sox. As great as the Noah Kahn bobblehead night was, as great as the Alice Cooper bobblehead night and all those promotional events that we had, as great as that was to fill the Fenway stands, as great as that first half was last year before the Red Sox fell off the cliff, as great as that was, all of it was not the narrative. That was not getting people excited. That was not the thing that actually were going to draw people in and make people feel like you can follow the Boston Red Sox without worry. That hasn't happened in a long, long time. That hasn't happened since 2019. Let's be honest with you. That hasn't happened since Mookie Betts left. And yeah, they made the ALCS in 2021. Good for them. But still, they made it without getting uncomfortable because Bogarts leaves immediately after that. Yeah, they have Trevor Story, but that was almost a cover for Bogarts. This is completely different. This is something where you had a guy that multiple other teams wanted. And we're going to get to why those other teams didn't get him in a second. But multiple teams didn't also wanted him. And you, the Boston Red Sox, for the first time in forever, actually won. You won. So how does this happen? Why is this important? And I know everybody's lined up on the phone line, 617-779-7937. There's a lot of buzz going on here at JetBlue Park. A lot of buzz. I mean, you have the Savannah Bananas with Party Animals playing once again tonight here, playing again tomorrow. So every time you have that event, it's going to be a huge deal. People in Fort Myers are buzzing about that. And then, as I said, the 15 people getting autographs, actually it's more than 15, school vacations here. So you have some kids, you have some people out there. But for the first time in a long time, people gathered around a field to see a guy that the Red Sox acquired, said, oh, here you go. There it is. The guy who has changed the narrative. Yep. Alex Bregman. He's out running around, hitting baseballs, all of it. And all of a sudden, we're sitting here, and I don't know how you could argue that the Red Sox have to be considered one of the favorites in the American League. Are they the favorite? No. But it's certainly, we talk about narratives, we certainly look at the Red Sox and we say, that is a team that can make the World Series with this as currently constituted. And I know some people say, oh, no, are you kidding me? Cart before the horse. Alex Bregman doesn't mean that much. Whatever. I'm telling you, it is that big a deal because the American League, number one, isn't that good. This is one of the reasons why we kept saying about Alex Bregman, hey, you got to sign this guy. The American League stinks. Why aren't you taking advantage of it? We said it last year. We're going to say it this year. And the avenue and the open and the avenue for it to actually walk through that door to get into the World Series for the Boston Red Sox is open. It's open more than ever. It's not if this goes right, if that goes right, if this has to happen, if this guy takes a step forward, who knows? And that kind of happened last year in the first half. And fine, good for Netflix. Good for Netflix. They got all of that, and it was a good run for a while. But it wasn't sustainable, and we found out why it wasn't sustainable. Because you didn't have Garrett Crochet, because you didn't have Walker Buehler, because you didn't have Alex Bregman, you didn't have these guys. All these guys now are here. All these guys have made this a completely different dynamic. And yes, the Yankees are really good. Max Fried, Clay Bellinger, all of it, fine. But I am telling you right now, how can you not look at this team with Alex Bregman and at least say they are in the mix? They, roster-wise, on paper, and we love doing this, right? Rite of passage on February 15th, rite of passage on paper, the Boston Red Sox can absolutely make it to the World Series. They're not the Los Angeles Dodgers. Cross that bridge when you get to it. We can talk about a preview of that World Series if you want, if that's the way you want to go. If you're that optimistic about it, then fine. But no, I don't know how you can't say that. So right now, as currently constituted, on paper, with the Alex Bregman signing, with these other signings, with the guys who you have as depth, whether it's the depth guys, the pitching depth, you know, the Richard Fitz, the Quinn Priesters, or the higher-level guys, Marcelo Meyer, Roman Anthony, Christian Campbell, those guys as well. We all look forward to see how they do against 85-mile-an-hour fastballs in the Grapefruit League, and we get excited about that, and that going to get all the way through March. Whether it's that or whether it's just the team you have, all of it is in place. You have to give Craig Breslow, the guy who took slings and arrows, probably on this show, certainly at different avenues of the intrawebs, you have to give Craig Breslow a credit. He played the market correctly. He played this Alex Bregman market correctly. And if he didn't, then we would have criticized him. But he did. And even the Breslow, I don't want to say haters, but dislikers out there, even those people, they might say, hey, you know what? We still have to prove he hasn't proved anything. Well, if you look at this offseason, you got uncomfortable with the Crochet trade and you won the Alex Bregman bidding. However you did it, you played the market correctly. And when Scott Boras gets here for the press conference at 8:30 tomorrow morning at JetBlue Park, he's going to say a lot of things about how Bregman always wanted to be here. This is where he wanted to land and how the contract, the three-year contract, fits him just perfectly. The reality is that the teams that wanted him, the teams that wanted to give or were willing to give him the contract length that that Alex Bregman wanted, were places that Alex Bregman didn't want to go. He didn't want to go to Detroit. He didn't want to go to Toronto. I have no idea what happened with Houston. And the other team that probably were in the mix that he would have gone to, the Chicago Cubs, the Red Sox played that right too. They said, we know that the Chicago Cubs only have this amount of money to spend. It's going to be $30 million a year. We're going to give you $40 million a year. Yes, they were willing to go there. They were willing to get uncomfortable. All right, so all of it, it's on the table. And, of course, you may have seen something that's been going viral this morning, thanks to the Nesson, the Twitter account Nesson, where I have the sunglasses. This is a sunglass situation in the background of the Trevor Story interview. You can check that out. Go look at that. Go look at Nesson, or go look at my feed, at Bradfo, and you can check out all of that. You can check out my sunglass situation, which I promised. It's gone viral, and I promised a very succinct and very detailed explanation of exactly what happened. And this is why it makes spring training so awesome. It's so awesome because we have moments where I have a sunglass situation and I have to explain it for a half hour. And also, we have the playtesting guys coming up. Gordo, we have Sammy, we're going to have Brian Abraham, farm director, coming up. I think Lou Maloney. I also, Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthe, I'm guilting them to come up at some point, too. We got it all going on, but first we're going to try.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
With Jake. All right, welcome back to the Baseball is a Boring Show live from JetBlue Park. I am honored to have here Lou Maloney, the voice of so many things.
Hey, Bradfo.
Hi, Lou.
How you doing, buddy?
Oh, man. I love the loose dance. He's out there. You're ready to roll. You're probably ready to roll more than any other year, probably since, I don't know, since you played, right? Since 2011, since the best team ever.
I was starting to kind of think it was me, you know, as far as like just kind of getting into this, just broadcasting the games for my job.
Yeah.
Because the last couple of years when I've kind of just done it, you know, it's been, yeah. So this year, yeah, there's a little more pep in my step, especially I would say around 10:30 on, what was it, Wednesday night? I think that's when you get the news of Bregman or so.
No, don't take a melatonin at 10. That's my lesson.
I took something else.
and then you stayed up till 3 celebrating. Yeah, yeah. But Lou, so I had proclaimed in my opening rant, I had proclaimed that, you know, this was shifting a narrative move. Maybe more than they've had. And think about this. Soak this in. A shifting the narrative move more than they've had, maybe since the Adrian Gonzalez deal, maybe since that offseason, Carl Crawford. Because hear me out.
Yeah, you're right.
A lot of this other stuff was basically just extra. It wasn't a necessity. It wasn't the necessity that this was in so many ways. And so I feel like those moves were just like, oh, yeah, yeah, okay, it's a nice thing to have.
Yeah.
But tell me. I mean, this has shifted the narrative more than anything.
No,
right?
You're right, because it's like, you know, I remember that like 11 season when they went out and they spent all this money. And I believe, if I'm right, like they got Liverpool in like 09.
Yeah.
So, once again, it was like, oh, my God, they're going to pay more attention to Liverpool. They're not going to spend. And then they spent. And then they cut back again. And then when Dabrowski came, it was like, well, this is what this guy's going to do. And that was another shift right away, David Price.
But they still had, even when they got Price, even when they got Kimbrel, even when they got these guys, JD Martinez, they still had a team that was, like, good, right?
Yeah.
The apathy that had been creeping in certainly wasn't the case when they got those guys.
Right. And then now here we are again. And it was like you knew that first big signing was going to kind of be like, thank God. I wasn't sure if they were ever going to do this again. Right. And that's kind of where the Bregman news came from. Like it's satisfying on so many levels, not just the player, what he brings, the defense, the veteran presence, the postseason experience. Then it turns into, okay, they identified somebody they wanted, and they finally went out and got him. And, oh, by the way, okay, I guess they're going to spend again, right? Like it ended, and I know people can still hold on to some things, but I think it's just people that are stubbornly trying to hold on to narratives. It really did end it.
How do you hold on to the narrative? I haven't been listening to a lot of people.
I'm sure people in Boston can take away.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
It doesn't erase what happened the last five years. I get it, but... What do you want? How many times are you going to sit there and talk about Mookie Betts screwing up? Like, I get it. The guy left. It is what it is.
Well,
like, you move on.
Well, this ownership group, you know, congratulations on the World Series titles. But you know, Lou, they have chased their tails way, way too many times. And they have chased trends, and they've been a little bit late going back to Jose Abreu, missing out on him and getting Ruznay Castillo, losing John Lester, paying $40 million more than anyone else for David Price, and then trading for Chris Sale. You know, having the Tampa model hiring Chaim Bloom. I can go down the list. Like, they're chasing their tail a lot of times. Well, at least you corrected it. And what they're chasing their tail about now, and rightfully so, is in this day and age of baseball, yeah, you can have the sustainability of whatever, Tampa, Cleveland, but you also need the studs. You also need the foundational players. That is a fact. And you, by the way, another part of it, Lou, business. I mean, we could go through the 9 things that Bregman checked off. Well, among them is it's great for business. And all you have to know is see out here, whatever, how many people are out here, who, like, they are out there to see one guy today.
Yeah.
And that's Alex Bregman.
You know, the talk about building sustainability. Like, I wonder if you're just chasing something that doesn't exist. And that maybe, like, the theory of, like, you know, we can't extend guys because our minor league system isn't where we want to be and we don't have the young players coming up. Like, if that's... It's going to be this vicious cycle if that's the mentality. Like, to me, it is, we've now got these young guys in the next 5-6 years. Some of these guys pop. But you tell me, when Meyer, when Anthony and Campbell reach the big leagues and are no longer prospects, your minor league prospect system is going to be ranked 28th.
Hmm.
Yeah. Right? So then it turns into, well, we got to build it up again before we spend. Like, to me, it is, you build a big league club, and then you spend money. while your minor league system is developing.
Let's introduce you to the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Well, exactly. It's sort of like, okay, that's why the last 2 years you're like, our minor league system isn't good. Okay, well, let's go over the threshold. Let's spend some money and bring in a couple of starters and a couple of veteran bats. And then hopefully in 2 or 3 years when the rookies are here, those contracts are off the books. You know what I mean? And that's kind of how you know, you'd think to kind of work it. But this was setting up to be an offseason where it would almost be unacceptable not to spend because you had so much youth on this team, including a guy like Crochet who's making, what, $2.9 million? Mm-hmm. A guy like Duran who's making nothing? You know, you have stars here. Casas was making nothing. You almost – this one would have been unforgivable almost. You're going to sit there and say, I really don't understand it because you've got a young core. You should spend with it. And that's another reason why the Bregman signing was like, fine. They just spent, and by the way, they spent handsomely, $40 million a year.
And a big part of that is you're investing in your most, what you perceive as your most valuable asset, which is these guys coming up. You're investing in that because Alex Bregman, they understood this. Alex Bregman's presence around those guys, those three guys, you've been in the clubhouse. It's Anthony Meyer, Campbell, boom, 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 locker, locker, locker. Those three guys who are giddy to be here, Alex Bregman, they needed a guy more than anybody. Along with the Trevor Story, that's fine. He leads in a different way. But Alex Bregman helps maximize and show the way for those guys, right?
Yeah, I mean, number one, it's like when these kids come up, you want to walk into a winning clubhouse, a winning culture, right? And hopefully this team starts developing that here this year because they should be a playoff team. But number two, what it does is lets you bring these guys up at their own pace. Let's face it, the last couple of years, it was like last year was a developmental year. You got to see what Seydon Rafaela could do. You got to see what William Abreu could do. You know, you got to see what some of these kids could do. And I think this year it was, now it's time to win. You know, it's not about like just putting Campbell, if he's not ready at second, let him figure it out. Or Anthony Elfield, if he's not ready to figure it out. Not a lot of people think they are ready. But let them break the door down to get here. You know what I mean? Let them force moves because of their play rather than just saying, well, it's time to see what the kid can do because we're trying to figure out who we are in the future. No, this is about 2025 and making the postseason. If Campbell shows that he's ready, then you make some necessary moves. If Anthony shows he's ready, you make some necessary moves. Make them knock the door down rather than just handing it to him and letting him develop in this league, because that's hard.
Right. And anyone, if you want a comparison, the Pedroia comparison isn't apples to apples. It's not apples to apples at all. Because when you look back at Pedroia, sure, they gave him second base in 2007. But he hit ninth, Lou. He hit ninth.
Yeah.
Like, this is when, before Bregman, the idea that Christian Campbell was going to play second base, yeah, he might have hit toward the end of the order, but there was an expectation that he was going to be a big part of that, especially defensively, by the way.
Yep.
Let's go to the calls. All right, let's go to the calls. Jeff in Watertown leads it off, as always. Hall of Fame caller, Jeff in Watertown. What's going on, Jeff? How you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing? This is a great day. And, Lou, glad to hear you, and I hope you're going to be doing more play-by-play this year. I'm looking forward to hearing you.
We'll see about that.
I hope. But to me, a couple of things, Brad. Well, first of all, one thing that strikes me is, you know, there really is a philosophy shift in MLB. And so you have the big spenders, the teams like the Dodgers that are, you know, and the Mets and San Diego, and they're going to spend money on the top shelf guys that they're going to go over. And then you have this second tier of play. And it's funny because it seems like the teams that are in demand for that second-level player are all the fiscally responsible teams. And rather than, like, sort of driving the cost up on these players, it's almost like they're driving it down. Like, everybody's trying to negotiate for shorter terms and, you know, more. Yeah, it's like it's a bizarre situation where it just seems like this you know, the cost-conscious teams are, like, almost bidding each other, you know, down instead of up. And it's just fascinating to me. And the Red Sox are in the best position. If they're not going to be the Dodgers, then they should at least use their financial resources to be the best of the fiscally responsible teams. And like Bregman, you know, Bregman's a perfect example. They get the guy that they need, and they pay him what they need to get him. Not what he's worth, not anything else. What they need to pay him to get him here, and that's what they did. And that's what's so exciting to me is that, like, they. This you're right. This is like being back. You know, this is transformational. And to me, the example I give, Bradfo, is Manny Ramirez. I mean, the Manny Ramirez contract in 2001 was we weren't used to 10, you know, 8 years with a 2-year option. And they had just missed out on Messina, who I didn't want in the first place. But they just missed out on Messina, and they just pivoted, and they got, because they needed a right-handed bat, they needed a power hit, and they did that. And that changed the whole perception of the Red Sox at that time as finally being in with the big boys. And I think that's the one I'd go back to.
No, and thanks for the call, Jeff. You know, Jeff brings up a lot of good points, but one of them is it leads me to the conversation about how the Red Sox spent on this, how they managed this market, how they played the market, how they bobbed and weaved through the Bregman stuff, and it could have gone the other way. Like, it could have gone the other way. But, Lou, you tell me if I'm wrong. So the way that I looked at this, and we could see a lot of this coming, where you had teams, Detroit, okay, they were willing to give the years, right? Didn't want to play there. Toronto, I think they were interested. They were willing to give the years. Didn't want to play there. Then you come back to Houston. I don't know what happened there. As soon as I heard the 6-year deal, I'm like, he's gone. He's back to Houston. Altuve is playing left field. I don't know what happened. Probably just not enough money. And then you have the Cubs and the Red Sox. And I think that he absolutely would have gone the Cubs. And I'm saying all this because this is how the Red Sox had to view it. They had to figure out who was in on this, who they had to compete against, what they had to do. And I think they knew all of that. I think they knew he didn't want to go to Detroit. I think they knew he didn't want to go to Toronto. I don't know how they felt about Houston. But also with Chicago, which I think was their biggest competitor at the end, they also knew there was a limit which they were willing to go to in terms of the AAV, and certainly the years. So what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think free agency, in a way, like you're talking about, is kind of like playing poker a little bit. You try to gather as much information.
But they had been losing at the table for so long.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. There was definitely times where you sat there and said, they're out of touch with this market. Right, they just have been out of touch with it. They try to sign their own guys, and you get reports about what extensions or what deals look like, and then they end up getting twice as much on the free agent market. And you're like, wow, like, you're not even close, right? But I'm with you. I think they had an understanding of where this was going. And the Houston thing, I don't know. Maybe he looked at it and said, our minor league system isn't what it used to be. And, you know, Kyle Tucker's gone, and it's just a big part of it. Altuve's getting a little older. Like, if I want my next stop to be a 3-4 for whatever it is, 5-year deal, I want to know the future of the organization. From what I understand, it was like 3-100 sort of sitting there for a while. Mm. And then the deferrals can always – maybe they were deferred late. Mm-hmm. And then maybe more money was deferred, and it just sort of sat there. And I think a lot of people around here were surprised. Like decision makers were surprised.
Right, with the Red Sox.
That it happened. They all felt like they were moving on to Arenado, because it was once you heard a couple 6-year deals were out there, and you were wondering if Chicago was going to go, the Cubs were going to go to that fifth year, that could have been a difference maker. They weren't willing to, and you went from 100 to 120, whether you tweaked how much is deferred or when it's paid out, I don't know. But in the end, it certainly seemed like he wanted to be here. Now, it's easy to say, well, yeah, $40 million, of course. But, you know, he turned down 100 and whatever it was, 71 guaranteed.
Yeah, and he also turned down years.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's not like this lines up. Yeah, sure, he has the opt-out, but anyone, I can't imagine he's ever going to opt out of those AAVs. And you have an age where 31, and you have a 3-year contract. This is not the playbook that Scott Boras wanted for Alex Bregman. This is why they're asking for 6 or 7, because he knows as well as anybody. This is his chief earning power. It's not when he's 34 or when he's 35.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's go to Dave in the car. Hey, David, how are you?
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. And Lou, great to hear you out here, and I certainly hope you do get to call some games throughout the season, because you do a great job, honestly. I like to hear you calling them. I'm excited about Alex, but I do have a little bit of a concern, because I feel that the Red Sox did something that you guys just mentioned. It was sort of surprising. They needed to do something because fans were very upset. And obviously they went out. I am glad it's only a 3-year deal, because you just never know. We've been burnt before with long-term contracts, and it just went down the tubes. So, therefore, I think this is a good move on the Red Sox business end of it. But also, I find that this was a way to get people to be quiet from talking, and also to make sure that Alex Score is happy, because I don't think he was happy with what was going on. And I think this kind of got him to settle down.
Dave, wait, so Dave, those things concern you?
Yeah, I was going to say, what's wrong with those two things?
What would be upset about, so like, much, making your manager happy and showing your fan base that you're willing to spend money?
No, I'm not upset over that, but it's part of me looks at it, it's a shut up money, you know, to the fans, and I hope they do more. I hope they don't just look at it, oh, we signed Alex, so therefore we're good now. We don't have to do anything else. That's where I'm going with it. I hope it continues and they can spend money.
I understand.
They have to.
My advice would be
thanks
this.
For the call. Yeah, thanks for the call.
My Dave. Advice would be this, David. If you hear anybody say that the Red Sox spent money just to shut up fans, that's someone that's stuck on a narrative and doesn't know how to get off of it. Okay, because they got a player they've been after all year. They got a player that for months their manager has been wanting. Sam Kennedy has been wanting. Like, they have a guy that fits. It's exactly what they need. This was not panic. Let's just spend to shut people up. And if anybody goes with that narrative, you should question their agenda because it's just not true.
I think it's tying.
It's the guy they want.
It's tying themselves into knots. I think, Lou, you and I were probably on the same wavelength when it came to the frustration, when it came to things didn't look like they were going to be aggressive after Alex Bregman. And they played the market right. I think we both agreed, I think, that this was a really, really good fit. This was, as we said, a narrative changer, a good fit, all the reasons why. So we can't be hypocrites. I mean, they got the guy. And they also paid a crap load of money per year for the guy. It could have been easy. Think about how the Chicago Cubs fan feels right now. They're probably sitting there, wait, you offered 3 years? Wait, why didn't you get it? Why didn't you do what the Red Sox did?
Yeah, close it. Right. I would say this. When the offseason started, it was like, how do you fix this offense? To me, the glaring hole was, you know, not enough professional at-bats, not enough contact, okay? They were second in all of baseball in strikeouts. They struck out 10 times or more in 91 ball games, okay? A crazy, crazy number. So when you looked at the free agents available, you said, you know, Soto, whatever. I don't care if he's lefty. He fits everything. But that's what's going to cost whatever. After that, you know, the obvious guy was like Teoscar Hernandez, okay, because of the history. Strikes out at about a 30% clip, and I'm like, he doesn't fix your strikeout problem, but he is a presence in your lineup, but he's not a perfect fit. And you start going through who are the perfect fits, and right away it was like Bregman's the perfect fit offensively. He's a career, strikes out like 12% of the time, not 33 like Tyler O'Neill. He can hit you 25 to 30 home runs like Tyler, but he'll drive in more than 60 RBIs while doing it. He'll also have like a 12% walk rate, which is Yoshida-like, which nobody on this team has. He was the fit. The other one was Profar, and that was based off 1 year. Like, those two guys were the only guys that really fit the profile of we need more contact. We need more walks to move this line going.
And the clubhouse aspect of it.
Oh, he fit everything.
The mentorship aspect of it.
He played 99 playoff games. Devers has 26. Story has 5. Nobody else has played in the playoffs.
Exactly. All right, let's go to Neil in Key West. In Key West, at Key West. Hey, Neil, how you doing? What's going on?
Hey, listen, more talent right now in the Red Sox clubhouse than there is on the beach, so that's a good thing. And I think Bregman brings at the trade deadline, if we need something, people are going to waive their no plays clause. They're going to want to come and play for the Red Sox.
Neil.
And one more thing. Yeah, man.
No.
How's the beach going, Neil?
I was gonna say, like, you just said there's more talent in the roster than the beach. I don't believe that, number one, and I believe that you are having a good time in Key West right now, correct?
Oh, I'm having a great time, but the talent is not arriving yet. The spring breakers arrive next week.
Okay. All right.
I love it.
All right, what else you got, Neil?
Sorry, I cut him off.
That's okay.
Man,
Neil's enjoying the beach.
I mean, how boots on the ground in Key West.
Neil's enjoying the beach.
Yeah, boots on the ground in Key West. All right, Lou, can you hang for one more second?
I got one more.
All right, you go.
I don't want to end on Neil.
You stretch out. And we got, because we haven't even talked about where he's going to play.
Okay.
Where Bregman's going to play. Yeah. We got to talk about that when we get to the other calls. 617-779-7937. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. I'm Rob Bradford and Lou Marlone alongside. Cavalcade of Stars coming up here. We're at JetBlue Park. Jacob behind the glass. Again, if you want to join on in, 617-779-7937. Seems like a pretty good time to do it. Baseball is.
Sir.
I love this. When this came out, Lou, you got me so fired up. I love a good entrance music. I love Felix Bautista, the wire, the whistling.
This is a good one here. Yeah. I witnessed this thing, unfortunately, I think three nights in a row down in New York. No, they didn't even need him the first two nights. Went to the Mets late in the year. Yeah. Didn't even need him the first two nights. I'm like, if they get swept and I don't get Diaz, I'm going to be pissed. Like, if you're going to lose, at least give me this guy coming out.
I know. It's such an underrated thing. I feel like some guys try to do it, and obviously we go back to the OGs, you know, Billy Wagner and Mariano and Papelbon and those guys.
Hoffy.
Oh,
hell's bells. Hoffman, I mean, stop it.
Yeah, and now, but even Hoffman didn't have, like, the lights.
No, it would have been sick.
It is. You can have a crappy closer.
Who's the guy in Minnesota?
Oh, Durant.
Oh.
Right?
Is he the fire guy?
Yeah.
In Fuego. Oh, yeah. My Lord.
Yeah, you can have you can have a crappy closer with a crappy
music. Turn all the lights off in stadiums. Right. You couldn't do that years ago, right?
Exactly. These guys are running in. They're tripping. They can't even see. All right. Well, what we can see is this awesome show. Baseball Isn't Boring Show. We're going to be on with you until 3 o'clock at the top of the hour. Gordo and Sammy, Playtastic, going to be joining, and that's when I choose to enlighten everybody what happened with my sunglasses earlier today.
Okay. I can't wait for that one.
You know what I'm talking about? Did you see this?
No.
Oh, you didn't? Went viral.
Your sunglasses?
Yeah, it was unfortunately in the Trevor Story scrum this morning. I was right behind him, and the Nesson chose to use that clip of when I'm not going to explain right now.
He stepped on him?
No. I was in the background, and nobody could focus on Trevor Story because the weird thing I was doing with my sunglasses. In the back of Trevor's story. I'll tell everybody at the top.
You're a weird guy.
I'll tell you. I am weird. All right. Well, before we get back to the phone lines, Lou Marlone.
Yep.
You know, we talked about position. And I think that the assumption was, all right, Alex Bregman, second base, makes all the sense in the world. Former shortstop, could certainly play third, and would be an upgrade at third. But they need this spot at second base. But, as we sit here, I think you and I have both talked to enough people where it doesn't seem like they are ready to say he is our second baseman.
And they're going to say publicly that, you know, there's a lot of factors and they're not sure right now. And the boring answer is, and the right answer is, it's true. They really don't. Like, and I mean that because there are some factors. Number one, it's like you got the kid Campbell at second base. Is he ready? You know, is there a second baseman that they feel strongly enough to make the move for Bregman to third? And a lot of people say, who cares? Just get Devers off of third base. And it's like, no, hold on now. Because if you got problems at second and can't turn double plays and can't make – I want to be stronger up the middle the more than I do at third base. You know, so if one of those kids down there can't play defense and maybe aren't ready, then Bregman's playing second base.
And none of those kids, and this isn't any knock on them, Christian Campbell,
Grissom,
David Hamilton, Vaughn Grissom, even Marcelo Meyer. When you put them out there, it's not like, oh my goodness, you got a defensive wizard at second base.
Well, I'll tell you, Hamilton was really good over there last year at second. Like, he took the second, maybe not short, because I feel like, you know, the arm is a little bit long, and I think because of that, it sped up his game at shortstop and maybe had him miss a few balls. But at second base, he was electric with range and everything. But he's more of a platoon guy. So you're certainly not going to platoon second base to move everybody around. And the other factor is Yoshida. I know a lot of people crap on Masataka Yoshida. The reality is that shoulder that he dealt with and got surgery on, he may not be ready. They can slow play that for 2 or 3 weeks. That's been bothering him for 2 years. It started bothering him that first year, midway through. And there's a lot of people, I'm telling you, that are high on him that believe that there is more there to go with the bat-to-ball skill, to go with the average, the on-base, not striking out. There's more power there. So he is still a factor in some of the decisions.
So TBD. TBD. It will be interesting tomorrow, 8:30, the press conference here at JetBlue Park. Scott Boras, Sam Kennedy, Craig Breslow, Alex Cora, and of course, Alex Bregman.
You know what the best part was today? Everyone's talking about where's he going to play? Where's he going to play? Today he was out in the backfield taking ground balls for the first time. Is he going to play second? Is he going to play third? He took ground balls at short the whole time with Story. It was like, just messing with people, or you start at short because you can adjust.
Yeah, I think that's it. All right, let's go to Carl in the Cape. What's going on, Carl? How you doing?
Good, Bradford. Lou, wow. I'm excited for the first time in a long time with this team. Mm-hmm. And I know it sounds cliche, but he is, you know, dare I say, game changer. I know we've heard that term a lot about him because he is. The guy, the Bregman is just a professional hitter. He does not give up at bats. And you wonder why a guy like him does so well in the playoffs is because he's a grinder. He doesn't give up an at bat. And his on-base percentage is always through the roof. It's always a productive at-bat. And what you've done is you've really lengthened the lineup a lot. You know, when you can have a guy like Yoshida hitting sixth, wow. You know, you're going to wear out some staff. You really are.
Thanks for the call. We're going to get rolling here, but thanks for the call, man.
I agree with all that. Listen, you can't run from the fact what he's done against lefties the last 3 years. You can't, right? Like, he's been basically a .220 hitter and the OPS right around 700 the last 3 years. Last time he hit lefties well was 2021. But he is a career .862 OPS guy against lefties. You know, there was a point up to the last 3 years where he destroyed left-handed pitching. I don't know what happened the last three. I'm sure that looking at film, they're talking about how guys got you out. I'm sure there's an adjustment. So that part is real. But, you know, hopefully they fix that because you do need that presence against lefties. But everything else, I mean, he's exactly what you need.
Yeah, and I think that one of the things that we can talk to him about in the next few days, if not tomorrow, is that how bad those bone chips were last year and how much that impacted you. People talking Houston about that being a real difference maker. Speaking of difference makers, Tony in Bridgewater. Hey, Tony, how are you?
Hey, Tony.
How you doing, Lou?
Good, buddy.
Glad to hear you back already. I miss you, man. I miss you. You know your baseball. I've been pounding Bradford for about a year and a half there with the owners, what they're doing. And I'm getting my Nesson subscription back. Nice. This is a fantastic move. And you know what I like most about this move? It has nothing to do with money. It's a baseball move. It's an old-time Theo Epstein move where it's just about baseball. Forget the money stuff. That stuff drives me nuts, and I know it's part of the game, but honest to God, this is a great baseball move. I'm back on board, and nothing but bright lights in my eyes.
See, that's what I'm talking about. The biggest narrative change in the history of baseball right there. Tony in Bridgewater, back on board. Here we go.
It's been a while. It's been a while. The guy, well, let's be honest. I mean, it wasn't like I'm making stuff up. The guy didn't want to spend money, and Henry and I wasn't going to give him mine.
And thanks for the call, Tony.
I wonder how much – if the Red Sox came out, like, say, tomorrow, right, Sam Kennedy, you know, and maybe a couple years ago this would have helped. But if it was like, listen, we – you know, our minor league system was a mess. We saw some young players that we needed to see who they were to find out where we were going. So the last couple years, we basically made enough additions to try to give this team a chance to compete. But it was really all about finding out who we have. And in the last 2 years, we found out who Connor Wong, Tristan Casas, Jaron Duran, Rafaela, Abreu, Bayo, Crawford, Houck. We found out who those guys are. Was it worth it? You know what I mean? But instead it was...
Yeah, I don't buy that. You know why?
No, but that was the real... That was reality. Like, well, that's really what happened. They just didn't want to say it.
Well, what's frustrating, and maybe, but what's frustrating is when you have... When you don't win on anything. When you have... They admittedly getting in bidding wars and trade conversations, and you're not winning. Like, that's the – you're setting a price point all the time, and you're not coming off that price point. However you want to look at it, whether it's, hey, you know what, we don't want to go too far over because we got these guys coming up, we want to see what those guys are.
But don't you think that you're sitting there at some point and saying, you know, the Teoscar Hernandez thing and everything written?
Well, they
on
blew
it.
The Teoscar Hernandez thing, Lou.
I agree, but I could tell you right now that there's some probably people in there sitting there saying, well, you know, we do have a Bray, we do have Rafaela, we do have Duran, and I'm just telling you, it was about seeing what they have. In those guys,
okay,
knowing
with,
what
with,
they
with
need
with Teoscar Hernandez, do you think that it was smart where Teoscar Hernandez definitively says, I would go have gone to Boston if they gave me 3 years?
No,
instead, they said 2 and 2 at 28, and then you go to the next year, and all of a sudden you're bidding for the – or I don't know how much they're bidding, but certainly he would be a fit that you would certainly take him for that extra year.
No, listen, I'm not – I would have signed Teoscar Hernandez last offseason to 3 years because now he'd be sitting there 2 years 40 and we'd be
right.
Giggling how great of a deal it is. But what I'm saying is the reality is that the last 2 years, they were just playing kids. At Cora last year for like the first 2 months used the word development like all the time. Mm. And it's just that they played their way into contention in the middle of the summer.
But then,
and then
they,
it
but,
turned
but
a
then,
little
Lou,
bit.
They didn't take advantage. You're right. But then they didn't take advantage.
Because they didn't think it was. They didn't think they were ready
to win. Well, then they were wrong last year at the trade deadline because the American League stunk. I mean, that was a window for them. And if you really wanted to take advantage of that window, which they just did, the American League not being very good, they could have done that last year. And maybe mm-hmm. the price was too much. But that was a very real window that they didn't take advantage of. Nick in New Hampshire, what's going on, Nick?
How's it going?
Great.
I think the Red Sox could probably win 90 games and the division at this point. You look at all the other big teams in the AL East, the Orioles, the Yankees. They lost these huge pieces. The Red Sox have.
Well, listen, it depends on what you think about the Yankees. They lost Soto, which is enormous. I've never seen two guys absolutely. I always believe that a better lineup is like 1 through 9 good hitters rather than just two guys in the middle. They try to defy that because that lineup was stupid with just two guys for the most part. You know, you brought in Goldschmidt, Bellinger, and signed Fried and Williams, your closer. I like what they've done. Mm. We'll see if Bellinger and Goldschmidt have what they have left. The Orioles is a team that, if I'm an Oriole fan, I have to be wondering
awful.
What is going – you. And listen, it's not over yet. Would you be shocked at all if Dylan Cease
no.
is in Baltimore opening
no.
day?
No, and they should. I mean, this is – we talked about this, I think, the other day. The Orioles, they have – when they had the ownership shift, we thought everything was going to change. You got Corbin Burns. You're going to extend these guys. They haven't extended anybody. They lost Corbin Burns. They haven't been aggressive at all. They've lost out on everybody. And all they have to do, Lou, is what they did with Corbin Burns last year. And Dylan Cease would be the logical guy. And they got the guys to do it.
Yeah.
Just do Corbin Burns all over
Just
again.
Do it. And I tell you, Santander is going to be a big loss. Like, I kind of view Santander as I viewed Teoscar Hernandez in Toronto. Like, when they moved on from Teoscar, that lineup was different. Like, it was almost like he, as good as Vlad and Bo Bichette were and others, he was the one that kind of held it together. And we talk so much about the kids in Baltimore, but Anthony Santander was hitting 40 homers,
yeah.
driving in a .120. He was like that last line of defense, hitting fourth or fifth, like, oh, no. You know, and I just think without him... T.O.'s going to be struggle to stay on the field. Some swing and miss. I don't know what they're doing. And that's the problem you have into when you continually think you have a bunch of kids who can win.
Mm.
I don't believe you can.
Mm.
I think you need veterans. And there's not enough of them. There's still veterans out there. And they never went and got
Which,
them.
Again, spins it right to what we're dealing with here at JetBlue Park with the Red Sox. Lou, thank you, man. Go,
you got it.
Go find a golf course.
I'm going to right now.
Go find a golf course. All right, the great Lou Merlone with us. We're going to have Sammy and Gordo coming up. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.